Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 8 of the Lose Weight, Create Life podcast. My name is Ryan Tomko, and today we are joined by my friend, Willie Gillis. Willie has been through an amazing weight loss journey in his own right, losing over 150 pounds over the course of several years. He's truly an inspiration to me, and ever since I found his page on Instagram, at Willie Gillis, he's been somebody I look up to quite a bit because he incorporates running as well as weightlifting. He also does quite a bit of reading as well, which we talk a little bit about in the episode as well, which has become very important to me, and I know it is for him as well. If you enjoyed today's episode, please feel free to share this with a friend, somebody you feel this episode may be of use to. And if you have a minute, please feel free to leave a review on whatever platform you are listening on. With that, let's get into today's interview. Willie, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so grateful for your time and really excited for you to be here with me. So thank you. Thank you so much.
No problem, man.
Give us a little insight into your journey.
I started my journey in 2011, January 6, 2011. On January 5th, 2011, I just kind of made a decision to like just start tracking my food because I realized that I was eating a lot of food and I just didn't know how much I was eating. So I used an app called Lose It. Now I use MyFitnessPal, but it's the same thing as MyFitnessPal. You can track your calories, your exercise. So I started using that on that Wednesday, that January 5th for that. And I realized I was eating three times the amount that I should be eating. So I decided, slept on it, and I woke up the next morning and I talked to my wife, who, she was a heavier person too. And then I just told her, I was like, I want to try to lose weight. And then she said, well, if you're going to do it, I'm going to do it too. So that started our journey of trying to lose weight. Within 6 months, I lost 100 pounds. Within a year, I had already lost 200 pounds. And then I think within 22 months, I had lost 300 pounds. And then my wife ended up losing 200 within half that time.
That's incredible. Wow. That's so cool to hear. And it's so interesting that you remember the exact date. Did you write it down after you had started, or do you just instinctively remember that?
I think I just remember because my wife and I's anniversary is January 10th.
Okay.
January 9th. Sorry. Look, I already forgot our anniversary.
Hope she doesn't listen to that.
No. So it's our anniversary is on January 9th.
Right.
2010, which was a year before that. So I just remember because it's so close to our anniversary.
Yeah. I know going back, I have a hard time remembering when I first started and all that. So it's interesting to me that you remember the date. That's so cool. One of the things that I look back on when I think of what got me started was I kind of call it the I'm fat moment. You kind of look at yourself and you go, holy crap, what have I been doing to myself?
Yeah.
Did you ever have a moment like that where it was just like, whoa, I need to slow down. I need to start paying attention to what I'm eating, doing, exercising. Did you ever have one of those moments?
I didn't really have those moments because I knew I was big because I think in the December before that, before I decided to lose weight, I think we were in a Walmart with our friends up in Texas, up in Austin. And this little girl pointed at me and said, why is he so fat? So I remember because I didn't realize that I was that big. But when people point to me, I'm like, oh, wait, I might be that kind of that big, especially kids. Kids are going to tell you what they see is what you get. So they see that there's a bigger person. They're going to call you out and be like, and they don't know. They don't know about, being a little niceties and stuff like that. They don't know that. So they just know what they see and they just point out what they see.
Right. Yeah. Kids are so brutally honest in that regard. I know looking back, I had one of those, not that I was around big setting like that or somebody said something to me directly like that. The moment hit me was I was with a group of people and they were just all so skinny. And I know body image is kind of subjective to the person. I remember thinking, man, everybody else, all my friends, close relatives, they're all relatively healthy, relatively in shape. And I had to take a look at myself and go, what am I doing? Why am I so different? And it was interesting because a lot of my friends were into weight training. They would do CrossFit, a lot of running. I never took them up on it to, try those things out at the time. And looking back on it, I really wish I would and would start paying it, would have paid attention because that would have made everything going forward a heck of a lot easier.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I did the same thing. I knew how to lose weight, probably back in 2008, and my wife has seen the path I've been on. I've lost weight and I've gained weight back, but I think it just took 2011 to just be like, this is where I'm going from here, and let's just do it. So like, I knew exactly what to do, but I think it just took a while for me to be like, okay, I need to go ahead and do this, just pull the trigger. Because like I when I woke up on January 6th, I was just like, and I told her, I was like, let me just try and see what happens. It was like an experiment to me. Like, if this doesn't work, it just doesn't work. But if I just put everything into it, maybe it will.
Right. It's interesting that you say you knew what to do. I know when I started, I had no idea. And then you go online and you see all sorts of crazy stuff. I can't even tell you how much money I spent on, you know, crappy training programs to terrible nutrition guides, all this stuff. It's crazy. It's really daunting. I know, looking back on myself, and I can only imagine today now with more access to social media and such, just how daunting it can be to try to jump in to weight loss and get started, because you feel like you have to grasp everything at once.
And yeah, and I was talking to Daryl about this, I think on his last podcast when I was talking to him. I just hate that, like, this information is so easily available. Like, it could be way easier to, like, simplify, like, weight loss down to just, like, 3 to 4 steps. And people will use, like, other people's fear of, I want to lose weight so bad, I'll do anything, I'll pay anything. Like, and I feel like if people would stop preying on that insecurity, a lot more people would be able to lose weight.
But for sure.
Yeah. But I mean, it's a money grab. And I hate that. And I've known people who are like, oh, I've done, you know, I'm not going to name any diets or anything, but like, I've done this and I've done that. But like, it shouldn't have to be like that. Like, it should be a lot easier. Like, it's no different than just going to the doctor and be like, this is what you need to do. We don't get that information. We'll get a pill before we get the answer.
Yeah, for sure. Looking back on it, so I know, especially for guys, and my girlfriend reminds me of this all the time, how quickly and easily it is for guys to drop a lot of weight pretty quickly, and how much harder it is for women. Well, I remember when I first started off, I was like, oh man, well, I'm just going to take these pills. I'm thinking of the brand name
Hydroxycut.
Yeah, those ads all over the place when I first started, and I was like, oh shoot, well, I'm just gonna go buy this pill, and I did, and nothing happened. You know, same nutrition, nothing changed. I was probably eating 2 peanut butter jelly sandwiches and thought that was adequate nutrition or an adequate meal. Yep. Something like that. And kind of like what you said, all this information is readily available for the most part, as long as you're looking into the right outlet.
You have to dig for it, because there's a lot of trash on top of that information, and you have to dig through a lot of trash before you find that actual gold.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's so crazy to think about. And yeah, like I said before, it's got to be so daunting for somebody brand new if they don't have a coach or somebody that's not just trying to squeeze out every penny out of them.
No, I agree.
One of the things that I'm trying to think of, like, one of my first interactions or seeing your page on Instagram, because I saw your page on Instagram and I was so excited. You appear to be, I know it's hard to tell through the internet, but a really happy guy, and you and your wife have a lot of, you know, you're going through the whole journey together. But one of the first moments that I recognized you was you posted one of my favorite books. That book is something that I've used even after I started. Own the Day, Own Your Life by Aubrey Marcus was released, I don't know, what, a year ago. I know that was a year and a half, 2-3 years into my journey. And I remember reading it or listening to it on Audible, really. I was listening to it. It was so simple. He really just dumbed down everything. I remember you post about it, and I commented on it after. When I asked you, you know, what was something about that book that you took away? What do you think? Was there any sticking points, anything that really stood out to you?
A lot of it I had already knew about. Like, the only thing I didn't know about was, like, drinking the lemon water in the morning. Like, I didn't know anything about that, or, like, the cold shower. And it's still kind of hard for me to do the cold shower, but, like, there's a lot of stuff in there that you can just add into your day, and it just makes your day a little bit easier, a little bit better. But I think I picked up on that because I think I listened to an interview with him, and he was talking about, like, he had a book coming out. And I think I just, because I didn't know anything about Aubrey Marcus until I saw the book come out, like, right before the book came out. So, and I grabbed the book. I think I had just went on vacation, like when I was reading it. When I finished it, I was like, okay, I got to do some of this stuff. And I did a lot of the lemon water and the cold showers and stuff like that. And there's a lot more stuff in there. I think I can't remember how many tips it was. It was like 15 or something, 10 or 15. I can't remember.
Something like that, yeah.
That's just a great book. Like if you're looking for information just on how to make your life like just like 1% better a day, like that's the book to read.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Ever since I read that book, now anybody that asks for advice or anybody I see online that's just like, you know, I need a starting point. I need to figure out what's real, what's not. I'm just like, take this book, go listen to it. Everything you need is in here for the most part. And he makes it very straightforward and easy to understand, which is nice. There's not a lot of crazy scientific terms or something that might confuse the average person, which I thought was really nice. It was a pretty easy read, especially somebody like myself who doesn't read a whole lot but tries to. Yeah, it's very simple and straightforward. I think that's one of the things that was most endearing about the book itself.
Definitely. There's another book that I don't know if you've read it yet. It came out in December. It's by David Goggins.
Yes.
It's called Can't Hurt Me.
Can't Hurt Me.
If you read that book, listen to the audiobook, because the audiobook is like, he reads the book, like he has his ghostwriter read the book, but like in between like the chapters, it's like a podcast in between chapters, and they're explaining what's happening in the chapters. Like that book is gold. Like for how much you pay for it, it's worth every penny.
Yeah, I've gifted that book for Christmas to a close friend of mine, because I'm talking about my trainer. His name's Pat. First turned me on to David Goggins, and I started watching his interviews with like Joe Rogan and such and Lewis Howes. Yeah, and then I grabbed onto the book. I'm like halfway through the Audible version. I haven't finished it, and I know I need to get back on the train. Yeah, it's so moving and just so inspiring to get you off your ass and get moving. I mean, it's just so straightforward and blunt, but in the right way. And whenever I hear him talk, I mean, every time I hear him talk, there's something I take away from it different from the last time, which is not something I can say for every person I hear.
No, definitely. And I flew through that book, because I think I listened to it like for a whole week straight, and I just really didn't do anything else. Like it was like on in the background. So I was paying attention to the book. That book is really well done for something that was an experiment.
Right.
In Audible form, but like it was really good.
Like you had mentioned, that Audible format of it is different, but it really works. It's so interesting to hear him kind of interject after each chapter about the various points in his life and things that happen. It's fascinating to hear. Can't Hurt Me, Own the Day, Own Your Life. I know you're a big reader, Willie, from what it looks like. Yeah. What if you had to point out another book, either strength training, nutrition, mindset, you could give one person one other book in your arsenal? We've listed two. What's your third book you're giving to somebody?
Because weight loss is all about nutrition, there is one book that I recommend over everything, and it's this book called Flexible Dieting 2.0, and it's by Chrissy May Cagney. She's the owner of Donuts and Deadlifts. That book is thoroughly, like, if you need to know how to lose weight from point A to point B, like, that is the book to read. And I think it's short. It's like 200 pages.
Oh, wow.
But it's like jam-packed full of, this is what you need to do to lose weight. Like, from how to set your calories for the day, like, making sure you have enough of protein, fats, and carbs. Like, it's straightforward.
And what's the name of the book one more time?
Flexible Dieting 2.0 is by Chrissy May Cagney. KrissyMayCagney.
Very good. Okay. You just posted on Instagram for the first time in a little while. I know myself, I'm on a kind of longer than brief hiatus. You just completed was it a marathon or a 10K? What?
That was a half. That was a half marathon.
Wow.
It was 13.1 miles. I have not ran an actual race in like 3 years. So like that was the first time I've ran 13 miles in 3 years. Most of the time I would do just like walk 5Ks and stuff like that. Like in the post, and I kind of detail it, but like I attempted to do Chicago Marathon in 2016, and then I just did not finish that because I was injured. I think I had a breakdown with running, and I just stopped running altogether. So it's been 3 years since I've actually ran. So like, and I did that one on a whim, because there's a race in May of this year called the Flying Pig. I'm doing the 10K with like Gary Cantrell and Daryl from Your Level Fitness and a whole bunch of other Instagram people. And so I wanted to try to do a 10K, like a practice 10K, but then the 10K was sold out. I said, well, if I can't do the 10K, I'm going to just sign up for the half. So I ended up signing up for the half on a whim, and then I just finished the half.
That's incredible. How are you feeling afterwards after not running like that for 3 years?
I'm still a little sore, but I mean, yeah. I have to run today, you know, and it's been like 4 days since I've ran that race. So I have to run today, but I'm feeling all right. A little sore still.
I'm sure. Yeah. Personally, I always tell myself I'm going to get up and run, and it always turns into walking. For me, running is the hardest thing. Strength training, I could do all day if need be.
Yeah.
But running, I don't know. So what kind of mindset do you get into before you go on your runs? Is there anything you do to prepare yourself, either mentally or physically?
Not really. I just go out and do it. I don't love running, but I know it's a necessity for me to do, like, especially with the cardio, because I hate doing cardio. But I just get into a mindset, like, I'll just put some music on and I'll just go. Like, I just don't even worry about, like, how many miles I have to do. Because, like, when I did that race this weekend, I literally just put on, like, different kinds of music. And, like, I had it shuffle and I just went with the music. And I just went out there, you know, and I don't run the whole race. Like, I'll do intervals. I'll run for 2 minutes and I'll walk for 2 minutes.
Sure.
So I just don't tire my legs out because I knew I had to run like a lot of distance. So like, I think people get that kind of confused. Like they think they have to run the whole race. You do not have to run a whole race. My wife runs all the time. She runs marathons. She runs halves.
Wow. And
she run walks a lot of that stuff.
Sure. I saw your post and I just thought that how incredible that is. Cause I know, especially doing it on a whim like that. Oh my gosh. I cannot imagine your mindset going into it. I know I would have been terrified.
Well, I was kind of down myself because now I start talking to Arash Shred Happens on Instagram.
Okay.
That's his handle. And he was like, just do it. Like, don't even worry about that you signed up for 13.1. He said, just go ahead and do it and have fun with it. And I was like, okay. And so I just went ahead and did it.
Yeah.
So
that's incredible. So running is your main form of cardio. And I know you do quite a bit of strength training. Is that right?
Yeah. I took a break from strength training because I wanted to just focus on just the running.
Sure.
But when I was doing strength training, like I think the last time I did was January, but you know, I was in there doing just squats, deadlifts, benches, all that kind of stuff. Overhead squats, you know, overhead press, anything I can get my hands on with the barbell.
How many times a week were you doing strength training? Was it just two or three or?
It was like 3 to 4 times a week. Okay. Like if I had time, I would stretch it out to 4, but usually it was 3.
Sure. Now, what got you into strength training?
I've always like strength training, but I just like even in high school, like when I was gonna try out for the football team and I just didn't do it, I would always be in there like strength training with them, and then I just kind of let it go. I stopped strength training for a long time, and then I got back into it like right when I started losing weight again. And I just enjoy just lifting the barbell. Like I'm not a power lifter or anything like that. I just like to just be able to, you know, test my strength.
Yeah, no, I get it. Kind of like we were talking about just weight loss as a whole. I know strength training in general. I know when I started, if I didn't have a trainer, I would probably still be in the hospital. I mean, there's so many components to it and so many things that can go wrong. It's interesting that you've always, you know, always wanted to, or it's always been a part of you, and that you kind of already knew what you're doing to an extent. Have you ever worked with a trainer before? Done any?
No, like, I've never worked with a trainer. I've done classes, but I've never worked with like a personal trainer or anything. I and my wife likes to tell me this. She's like, you like to deep dive into any subject and then figure it out and then just do it.
Right.
Like even with like strength training and running, like I have books on running, I have books on strength training. Like I just go into a deep dive of that subject and then I just figure everything out. And then like I still figure stuff out on my own by just doing.
Right. That's awesome. I know we were talking before about nutrition, just how big of an importance that is in weight loss as a whole. I know everyone tries to sell exercise programs and saying that's the main thing in order to lose weight. Generally speaking, most people understand that, as the saying goes, abs are made in the kitchen, and your eating habits really dictate everything that you're doing. When you were taking a look back at your old life before you started losing weight, I know you said you were eating several thousand calories more than you should have been. Were there any habits that you then had to change? Was there certain, you know, tics that you had that kind of set you off? You know, anything that you kind of look back on and notice, hey, you know, I was doing this and I changed it up?
Yeah, I had to, like, and I tell people this all the time, like, you have to slowly take things out. What I did was I took out soda, since soda is like the thing you just don't need.
Right.
I took that out first, and then I slowly started adding more stuff in, like, well, let's do one less meal out. Let's do two less meals out. Let's do all our meals just from home. You know, I slowly started taking stuff away and then adding stuff in that's a little bit more healthier. Like, I didn't just go cold turkey, and I tell people don't do that, because if you do that and you want something, like, you're gonna binge. And I had that problem too. I had a really bad problem with binge eating. It's not as bad anymore, because I know if I want something, I'm just gonna have it. Because if I don't have it, I'm gonna end up binging on it anyway. I tell people just like, slowly take stuff out, but you don't have to take everything out. Like, if you want something, even if it's a little piece of it, just go ahead and have it.
Right. I know that's a big thing. And I agree with you. Soda was the first place I started. I don't think I've had a soda. I'm even still, I drink tea and coffee, black coffee every so often, but yeah, soda was the big one. Once you get that out, holy crap, do you start feeling a lot better very quickly.
I mean, the first week I took out soda, I dropped 10 pounds. Stopping the soda.
Yeah, that's crazy. Mine was something similar. I wish I had was keeping track more back then, because I would have been very surprised, because I remember how much just healthier I was feeling afterwards, and I was just like, man, I have a lot to look forward to.
Yeah,
this is definitely the way I'm going to feel. I don't know about you, so I don't want to kind of put you on the spot here, but for me, after I lost a significant amount of weight, I had a surgery pretty close after. I was at my lowest. Since then, I've been kind of back and forth, teeter-tottering with weight regain and trying to lose weight again. Have you had any kind of spills with that, or has it been a steady decrease the whole time?
I like how this is like very similar. So like, I got down to my lowest in 2013, and like, I got to my lowest in 2012. So it was like I got to my lowest in 2012. And I held my weight for the longest time, like at my lowest. Like, the lowest I was at was at 192. I held that weight for so long. I think at that point I was like 215, and then I had surgery in 2014. So like, and this is funny because the story is ridiculous, but I went to run a half marathon in Louisiana, because I'm like 3 hours away from Louisiana. Sure. I went to run a half marathon, and I had been sick all week, and I just thought I was just coming down with something. I ran that race. Before I ran the race, I was sleeping the whole day. Like, I was like lethargic. Like, I didn't know what was going on. I woke up that next morning, ran the race, went home. And then my wife was like, you need to go to the doctor, because you're not getting any better. Because it was like a week of me being sick. I went to the doctor. They were like, oh, you might have, pancreatitis or whatever. I can't remember what she said. Like, I had to get my pancreas out. They're like, we're sending you to the emergency room. So I went to the emergency room. They were like, no, your gallbladder is malfunctioning. Like, you need a surgery right now. So yeah. I'd have gallbladder surgery then, like, within the next 2 or 3 days. So like, I was still around like 215 then. And then my weight just kept going up after that surgery. And I was like, I can't understand why my weight was going up. So like, I've gained weight back. I think I gained like 100 pounds back. I've been holding steady at 100 pounds, like that 100 pounds that I gained. Like, I hadn't went up or down. Like, I've just been holding steady. But yeah, mine's very similar to yours. Like, I just gained weight, and then I've been teeter-tottering with the same little 5 pounds. But like, it doesn't bother me now. Like, I'm not going to let it bother me, because I know that I can get back down to like 230 or something. But I'm not worried about it right now.
Right. Now, what do you think you struggle with the most since your regain, as far as losing weight again? Is it your eating? Is it physical activity? What do you think it is for you?
I think it's mostly it has to be something with eating, because I even track my calories now, and I still teeter totter between the same 5 pounds. And I had to stop looking at the scale, because like, it was starting to like kind of get in my head. So I took a break from just looking at the scale and just seeing how I feel with my clothes. Since I started doing that, like, I feel that my clothes are looser. Something must be working without the scale, so I'm just going to keep doing that.
Yeah, the scale's a testy spot to be in. I know everybody likes to only mark their, achievements by the scale, but there's so much that goes into it. I'm tall, I'm a little taller. I'm 6'3" than the average person. I know when I talk about like my lowest weight was 286, and that wasn't really low by any standards, but I mean, at the time, I was feeling really good, really healthy at the time. I could have gone down, another 40, 50 pounds more and been at a really even more comfortable weight. There for me at 6'3", 286 was my lowest. That for me was comfortable. And I know as I'm struggling to kind of get back down there, I find myself having a hard time recreating those habits or getting into old mindsets and old mental cues that kind of kept me from losing weight in the first time.
Yeah, I feel like when you do, like when you lose weight the first time and then you try to go back and do it again, like after you regain, like you have to do something completely different.
Right.
Because the way you did it before, I guess your body's like, no, I know this direction. I know where we're going. Yeah. You're not going to take this off me this time. So like you have to do something totally different. And I think I'm realizing that now.
Yeah, it's challenging because, like you said, you know, we know what to do. We have the blueprint, so to speak, but it's so hard to replicate that now. My surgery was 2014, I believe, in May. So we're coming up on 4 years now. And, you know, ever since then, it's just been steady increase and fluctuations here and there. It's difficult to kind of replicate that success day in, day out. Most of it's probably stress related. I know, personally speaking, stress related and, you know, binge eating at times. Yeah, like I said, it's hard to replicate those results from the first time around.
I know there was a book that really helped me with like the binge eating thing. Like it's by Katherine Hansen. Can't remember the name of it. It's about Katherine Hansen. I can't remember the name of it, but it's a book about binge, her journey with binge eating and like how she kind of broke the binge. I can't even remember the name of it now. Yeah, but it's a very good book though.
I'm sure we'll be able to look it up with her name. It's such a tricky thing because once you think you've got it beat, then you're like bound to fall into that hole again, or something's bound to come up and it's kind of your happy place, so to speak, even if you think you've beaten it. And I know most people don't think of it this way, but maybe they do, maybe they don't. Maybe I'm ignorant to the fact. The way I see it is just another addiction. It's because it's so easy to fall back into that hole and just say, well, I feel like crap. I'm just going to eat until I want to throw up, you know?
Yeah. Oh, the book's called Brain Over Binge. That's the name of it.
Okay. Very good. We'll be sure to look that up. As I look back, I know for me, there's a couple foods in general that I wish had no calories and could eat until I was, you know, until I pass. Willie, what is it for you? If there's something out there that you can have and you wish it was zero calories, what's it got to be?
Before, like, I think, like, I still have a problem with, like, Reese's peanut butter cups.
Okay.
Because, like, I had one the other day and I was like, I had the two and that was it. Like, but if those were zero calories, I probably would eat them all the time.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else, like. I'm more of a dessert kind of guy. Like, okay. I'm not like a savory person. I'm more of a, you know, dessert kind of person. Sure. But I like food. I like food, though, and I like to, like, even when I, like, travel, I like to go to different places and try different foods. But, you know, I think I'm more of a sweet person. So, like, I like any kind of dessert.
Right. Yeah, I know for me, it's a no-brainer. It's pizza 100% of the time. When I was at my heaviest, I remember I could sit there and eat, like, a whole large pizza by myself. And still feel like okay, you know, like, oh yeah, I'm fine, I don't need to fall asleep right now. Yeah, it's as I look back, it's kind of nauseating to think about, but it's funny nonetheless.
But pizza's so cheap though, so like I understand why pizza is like a lot of people's thing, because like you can get like a large pizza for like $6 and then eat the whole thing and it's fine. Like, and I get it. I mean, it's not fine, but I get it. Like,
right,
pizza's good.
Right. Now, Willie, one of the things that I think is most impressive about you and most inspiring about you is, from what I get from your podcast, your posts, and just everything about you, is your mindset. I know you do a lot of reading. Your mindset seems to just be all there, and you seem like a very just positive, straightforward guy. What was it for you? What was it for you that helped you kind of mold your mindset, and how would you describe your mindset as you kind of tackle your day-to-day routine, your weight loss goals, challenges? Take us behind the scenes and what kind of goes on in your head.
I just think that anything can be done if, like, you just work at it. I feel like you don't have to be negative about, like, your life. Like, you have control over your life. You can, for the stuff you can control, like, you can do something about it. But the things you can't control, like, there's nothing you can do about it. Like, that's, it is what it is. But the things that you can control, you can do something about it. And I feel like, instead of blaming other people for, you know, you didn't get that job or you didn't get the girl or anything like that, like that's on you. Like, you don't have to take that defeat and be like, the world's trying to screw me. Like, you can do something about anything for the most part. I read a lot of stuff about philosophy. Like, I read a lot of Marcus Aurelius and stuff like that. And he talks about that. He talks about, like, control what you can and the things that you can't, you know, they're out of your control. Like, you just move on from them. I feel like if you want something bad enough, you're going to do it. And the problem is, I think people just don't want to put the work in. So if you want it bad enough, you're going to put the work in.
Beautifully said. Now, did you always have this mindset, or was this something that you built over time? And if so, how did you come to acquiring it?
I mean, no, I was never like that. Like, I was like everybody else. Like, I blame everybody. Like, I'm big because of this. I'm, you know, not happy because of that. Like, you know, that's on me. Like, I can't blame anybody but myself for that. You know, and I grew up with, you know, I don't want to put anybody on the bus, but, like, not all of my family is positive. Some of them were super negative. And I always shied away from the negative because I didn't want to deal with that. So, like, if I come across somebody who's, like, super negative now, like, I can't deal with your negativity because that's just going to bring me down. So, like, I like to have people who are positive around me.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a very similar outlook to yours as well. I think the two biggest things for me was there's two different mindsets I have that kind of mold together. So the first one being extreme ownership. Everything in your life is your fault, no matter what. But that's, it's also empowering. You have this, it may all be your fault, but you have the power to overcome and to do all these things. Mm-hmm. I learned that from my first trainer named Pat, or my only trainer now, I should say. But Pat was the first one that, you know, when I first started losing weight, I didn't know what I was doing. And I was so angry, so upset at everything. I said, how am I this fat? How am I this heavy? What, you know, what am I doing? And he was the first one to, you know, really be there for me when I wasn't even there for myself. But then also have the tough love to make me realize that this is all about me. It's up to me to make this happen. So yeah. extreme ownership was the first one. And then over the last year and a half or so now, the biggest thing that's been recurring in my life and really is the only thing I need in my life right now is gratitude. I don't know if you know who Jay Shetty is. He's pretty big on Instagram, Facebook of late. To me, he has got to be one of the most inspiring people. And I had the pleasure of meeting him at this event called the Summer of Greatness in Columbus, Ohio last year. And yes. Just so kind. And when I had the opportunity to meet him, I mean, he took a real moment aside, had a real conversation, really listened. And, you know, you just tell the genuine nature that he has. And everything I've heard and taken away from him is just gratitude for everything in your life. I know when I started going back to work and stuff, after I started adopting this mindset, everybody kind of looked at me like, what is Ryan on? Like, he's got to be high or something, because why is this guy so happy, you know, all of a sudden? I remember talking about this at a Toastmasters meeting once. I forget what the topic was, but I remember talking about how nowadays I'm just so grateful for everything. I'm so grateful for a shirt on my back, the home I live in, the bed I get to sleep on, the shoes on my feet. I think Jay Shetty, if he didn't quote somebody, he said it was, I never knew the value of my shoes until I saw somebody with no feet. Yeah. And that was like mind blowing to me. I was like, man, that just hits right at home. Extreme ownership and gratitude have been the biggest things. Mindset for me was to take away and be grateful for everything, but to understand that everything is also my fault. If I messed up, it's for me to fix. It's also a lesson I can take away and be grateful for.
No, I agree with that, because, like, I think a lot of people don't take time to realize, like, they need to be grateful for things, because, like, people complain about their job, but you have one, and there's somebody yes. else who doesn't, like, or they have a house or have a car and somebody else doesn't. They don't have those things. So, like, you should really be grateful for what you have and stop worrying about the things that you don't have, because trying to keep up with the Joneses, that when you leave this earth, like, that, it doesn't matter how much stuff you own. Like, you should be like, how am I helping the next person? When I leave this earth, how will I be remembered? Like, that's it. Like, you shouldn't worry about material things.
Oh, 100%.
Material things are good to have, but, I mean, like, you shouldn't have to worry about that, though.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'm going to pull an article. So it was a story that Jay Shetty also spoke about at his conference at the Summit of Greatness, was something I wanted to highlight with your last comment there. These were the last wishes of Alexander the Great. Have you ever heard them before?
No.
Last wishes of Alexander the Great. He had three things he wanted for three separate reasons. First thing he wanted, the best doctors to carry his coffin after his death. He said, I want the best doctors to carry my coffin to demonstrate that in the face of death, even the best doctors in the world have no power to heal. Second, he said, the wealth he has accumulated, money, gold, the precious stones and such, that should all be scattered along the procession to the cemetery. The reasoning behind that was, I want the road to be covered with my treasures so that everybody sees that material wealth acquired on earth stays on earth. The third thing, his hands should be let loose, hanging outside the coffin for all to see. And the reasoning behind that was, I want my hands to swing in the wind so that people understand that we came into this world empty-handed and we leave this world empty-handed after the most precious treasure of all is exhausted, and that is time. I remember hearing Jay say that at the conference and going over that. And that was just another, you know, another gratitude moment for me, because I was just like, it's all so true. And like you just said there, it's not about how much money I have. It's not about, you know, what kind of car I have. It's, there's so much, just, there's such a shallow nature in the world we live in. Unfortunately, it's very difficult for many to take a step back and just realize everything we do have in our life. Like, I have a computer in front of me. I have books in front of me. I have water that came out of a faucet. I mean, that's a modern miracle on itself. It's so interesting for people that don't have that mindset. And well, it's not interesting because I used to be there too, so I get it. But at the same time, there's just so much more valuable ways to live your life through gratitude and just being appreciative for literally everything in your life.
No, so, I totally agree.
Last two questions for you. Willie, if you were talking to somebody for the first time, very overweight, and they said, Willie, I don't know what to do. I need advice. But you have only three things you can give them. Three pieces of advice to give this person to start them on their weight loss journey, and then you're never going to see them again. What do you think those three things would be?
The first thing would be to get some form of exercise. Just walk. People like overthink walking. Like, if you go outside or go to a gym and go on the treadmill and just walk 5 minutes, 10 minutes, like start off with 5 minutes and just walk for 5 minutes. Every time you go in that gym, 6 minutes, 7 minutes, eight, like just increase it until you get to 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That's the first, advice. The second piece of advice is eat, if you can, eat as whole foods as possible. If you can't, then just start with one meal. Start something healthy with one meal. Instead of eating the fast food thing from McDonald's for breakfast, make something at home. Start there. And then, like I said, with the walking, take another meal, take another meal. Just add that up until you get to a point where you're not eating fast food. The third thing is make sure you get enough sleep. Sleep is super important. Like, if you're not getting enough sleep, you're not functioning right. So I feel like if you can get at least 6 hours of sleep, 6 to 8, because I know some people can function off 6.
Right.
Get 6 to 8 hours of sleep. If you can get more than that, if you can get 8 to 10, go for it. Like, but make sure you get sleep. Like, don't try to stay up all night and get only 4 hours of sleep and think you're going to function. You're not, because your body repairs itself at night when you're sleeping. So get enough sleep.
Yeah, no, very well said. And I definitely agree on everything. I remember thinking back in the day, I could function off of 4 hours of sleep. And looking back on it, it's so funny now, because I try for at least 7 to 8 personally, just because I know how crucial it is for me during the day. Willie, what are you working on right now? Do you have any, you know, projects? I know you have your podcast, but what are you working on, and where can we find you online if we're not already following you?
The three things that I'm working on are my solo podcast called What I Live For. Right now, I'm just kind of, just because Daryl, Your Level Fitness, told me just to throw something out there. So I'm just literally just throwing out like whatever comes off the top of my head and just having a conversation, you know, about that. I want to start doing interviews with that podcast. The second podcast is with my wife. It's called We Beat Fat. And we talk about, you know, how, what we talked about on here today with Ryan was mindset and weight loss and things like that, and just ways to make your life just a little bit better every day. And, you know, we just started doing that together. And then the last thing I'm working on is this training for this 10K in Cincinnati, Ohio on May 4th. I'm doing the Flying Pig 10K with Daryl and Gary Cantrell and a lot of other Instagram people. We're doing a meetup the night before. I guess that's May 3rd. I'm excited for that. But if you want to find me, I'm basically on Instagram. You can find me if you just look up my name, Willie Gillis, and you can find me there. You can DM me and we can have a conversation.
That's awesome, man. Willie, thank you so much for your time again. I'm so grateful for you being here, and I'm so thankful for all your advice. I think you gave so much great insight into people looking to lose weight. And I think that's what I mostly want this podcast to focus around, is for people just starting off or people that are struggling. And I think you hit the nail right on the head, because there's so much value you brought to somebody brand new. So I can't thank you enough. I will definitely have you on again in the future, as long as you're willing. So I appreciate your time, and thank you so much.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I want to thank Willie again for being on the show with us today. He brought so much good insight to people that are starting to lose weight, people that are looking to advance their mindset, and just people that in general want to get healthy, want to get more fit. If you enjoyed this episode today, please share this with a friend. Tell somebody who you think this may be of use to. And if you haven't been told this today, remember, you are worth your dreams.